Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just bow down before you this morning, so grateful that you've given us access, that we can come directly to the throne of grace. Guide us this morning as we pray, and Lord, as we look at another prayer in the Bible, Lord, may we hear from you, may we learn from you, and may we pray to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're going to finish the prayers in the book of Numbers. We will be in Numbers chapter 27 and look at verses particularly 15 through 17, which is a prayer by Moses to the Lord for a new leader for the children of Israel to be led into the promised land. I was just thinking about this also today, that we might sing a Savior like a shepherd leads us. Now, last time we were in chapters 24, 25, 26, relating to the prophecies by Balaam to King Balak, and we know that the Lord would not allow Balaam to curse the children of Israel, but we also know that Balaam had told Balak, here's what you do to get God to curse Israel, and that is have them commit fornication, adultery with your young woman, women to false gods, and then God will punish them. And that's exactly what happened, because in chapter 25, we have Israel committing harlotry in Moab, that concept, of course, which had been introduced and given to King Balak by Balaam. In chapter 26, we had the census taken again. Now, this is the census at the end, it's the second census at the end of the 40-year wilderness march. And it was amazing to me anyway that even in 40 years in the wilderness, God held the population pretty steady for the Israelites. There were 603,555 taken in the first census at the beginning of the wilderness march, and now at the end of the wilderness march at 40 years later, it was only about 1,800 plus fewer people, 601,350. Then in chapter 27, we get into the dealing of the inheritance laws introduced by the situation of the five daughters of Zelophehad. And that is a perfect picture there of the daughters being allowed to inherit, even though there wasn't any son in the line. And we will see that absolutely perfected, of course, when it comes through Mary, who was a virgin and gave birth to Jesus, who then she could, all the inheritance could go through Mary, even though that there were no other sons there. And then we have in verse 12, we have the Lord telling Moses to go up to Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. Now, Mount Abarim is a range of mountains on the east side of the Dead Sea, and the tallest mountain there basically is Mount Nebo, that we hear referred to quite often. And then also the very peak of that apparently is called Pisgah, where we have that referred to. We had that referred to back in chapter 21, I think, when Balak took Balaam up on Mount Pisgah and looked down on the children of Israel and tried to get them to be cursed. So Moses now is told to go up to the mountains and see the land which I've given to the children of Israel. So here we see Moses is not going to go into the land. You know why? And that's because at Meribah he misrepresented the Lord and struck the rock twice. And of course that rock is a type of Christ, and Christ was not to be struck but once. He was not to be crucified but one time. And Moses misrepresented the Lord by getting angry and striking the rock. And because of that misrepresentation, God said, you will not lead the children into the promised land. And of course, it's so typical now of the types in the Old Testament pointing to the New. And we have the law cannot save us. The law cannot bring us into the promised land. So who brought them in? Joshua. Jehovah is salvation. That's what the name Jesus means. Yehoshua. Jehovah is salvation. So the children now will be led into the promised land by Joshua. We know that hasn't been given necessarily to Moses just at this moment. But the Lord tells him then in verse 13, and when you've seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. And I like that. It's not you just shall die, but notice, gathered to your people. And of course, at that time, everybody went to Sheol, two compartments, the good and the bad, and the believers went into the part which is called the bosom of Abraham in Luke chapter 16. So we see here that the promise is that he would be gathered, not he would die, he'd be gathered with his people. And then the reason he's not going in, verse 14, for in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. And now in response to that, we have this beautiful reaction by Moses in praying for the children of Israel and for a leader to be set over them. So verse 15, then Moses spoke or prayed to Yahweh, to the Lord, saying, here is his prayer. Verse 16, let the Lord, Yahweh, the God, Elohim, of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. So here we see the address. It's to the Lord, obviously, as it should be. And then it says, the God of the spirits of all flesh. And I think that's another indication of telling us that we are body, soul, and spirit, created in the image of God. And we have a spirit, and we have a body, and God is the ruler of all. He's the ruler of the spirits of all flesh, and of course he's the ruler. He allows us to have free reign over our bodies in a sense in terms of making our own decisions, and yet he is over all of us. So he says, let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. So he's asking now, Lord, set up a leader. You've told me I can't go in, so we need a leader. And what is that leader to do? Verse 17, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that, the result, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. Oh, what a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful, wonderful prayer. Now, you'll notice here that is very similar to the prayer which Solomon will give much later when the temple is built, finally. That will be about 600 years later, maybe something like that. And Solomon mentioned that same thing at that time when God granted him his prayer for wisdom, and when he asked Solomon basically kind of what he wanted, Solomon said, "Give me wisdom that I may judge the children of Israel and may go out before them and go in before them and may lead them." And so that's the same thing that Moses is praying here earlier. And of course, that prayer is kind of copied in a sense. And then we have another fulfillment of this in an awesome way in the New Testament with Jesus Christ praying and saying and teaching the same thing to the children of Israel. He was really critical of the shepherds who were not leading the sheep, but were really feeding on the sheep, and were not feeding them, but they were fleecing them. And he would say basically the same thing, that the people are like sheep without a shepherd. And so this total fulfillment now is fulfilled by our awesome eternal high priest, who is our shepherd, who always leads us. And so, all right, we have then Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our shepherd. He leads us. And just notice, of course, as we think of the New Covenant versus the Old, in the Old it was basically go and obey. But in the New Testament we have what? Matthew 11:28 particularly is a key verse there. Come to me. Our good shepherd, our chief shepherd, he says, come to me, come. So the distance, infinitely distant between God and man, is bridged by our Savior who says, come. He bridges that gap and calls us to follow him. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my burden upon you, for my yoke is, learn from me, for my heart is lowly and gentle, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Beautiful, beautiful request there. So in summary, as we look at this prayer today, we see that the Lord has told Moses to go to Nebo and see the land, even though he will not be able to lead the children into the land because of his sin at Meribah. And after seeing the land, he will be gathered to his people. And we see the great response of Moses as he responds by praying and interceding for the people, asking the Lord to set a man over the children of Israel to go out before them and to bring them in. And the reason for that is that the people, the congregation of the Lord, the Israelites, may not be like a sheep that has no shepherd. And we can be thankful today that our names are written in the book of life, and we can be thankful today that we have a shepherd who will never fail to feed us, to lead us, to keep us, and to hold us. Praise be to God. So let us go to prayer now and pray as the Lord would lead us, in Jesus' name.